This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Kind of playing devil's advocate, had this gone the other way around, had he went into cardiac arrest in that moment, which he very well could have. He could have had a heart attack easily in that situation that he was confronted with, and he died in the river. And all these kids, no knife, let's say, ever even came into play, but their actions, the mob mentality, and the attack that they were giving him, he died. Let's say he died. Would all those kids be charged then with homicide? Or what I found interesting in Wisconsin being first degree intentional homicide, which we can talk about in a moment, but would it be looked at the complete opposite way?
You know, and I didn't see him in the courtroom. And I think this is when things really don't make sense. I try to look at it through a different optic, because obviously the optic I have is not being good. The only thing I can think of, he must not have been a very sympathetic character in the courtroom. Because when you're talking about those things you just were about, if he had died, if he had gone into cardiac arrest, that would have generated sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
And when a jury sees a situation like that, which is going to elicit sympathy, and you have a sympathetic character, you're now going to flip to you know, very, very subjective observation of what's going on. Because that's what is really going on in a courtroom. You're having evidence, what's your facts and objective details, but also what the prosecution and defense are doing. They're also trying to influence the jury with subjective factors like this. And so emotions play a lot in this. And for some reason, he must not have been portrayed as a sympathetic character in that situation, which when we're sitting back here, we don't understand why not. But for some reason in that courtroom, he wasn't. But as you just described it, had they portrayed him as a sympathetic character because of those things that, you know, it might have gone differently.
It makes you wonder. I mean, it really does, because there's all these possibilities of where this could have gone horribly wrong. This is obviously the path that it took. But first degree intentional homicide, the way I described it last night, I was on Banfield on News Nation talking about it, is it would have had to have been him standing with his party, looking across the river and saying, I'm going to go kill myself some kids.
Right.
That's not what happened. So I am wondering if the charges are inaccurate, because that just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. It seems like the state really went hard on this. There is reckless homicide, which could make some sense, and I think actually describes it a heck of a lot more accurately than what we're seeing with first degree intentional homicide. But it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out in the end and what a jury actually thinks. Both sides here, we have lying. We have lying on his part about the weapon, where he got it, and all of that. And then you also have on the other side, you have some of the kids, one of the kids specifically on the stand being caught in a lie, claiming that he had heard, or that Nikolai had come out of the bushes and was trying, literally being a pedophile, looking for little kids. That was not the case. That did not happen. And the kid on the stand got caught in their lie the other day and kind of had to admit it, although very reluctantly, and I don't think ever truly came to grips on it, and just seemed to not really care that much either about the fact that he was lying. I mean, in the same way that that group of kids didn't seem to care that they were attacking an innocent man in the lake or in the river. So it does make me wonder, when you have two sides of this, one could use it as a trump card if one didn't lie, of like, look, there's lies over here. When you got both sides lying and you just have that video to rely on, how do you think that plays to a jury?
Yeah, the lies are rough ones. So I think it's going to be incumbent upon the prosecution and defense about how they paint those lies. You know, so with the kids, they're trying to rationalize really abhorrent behavior with a false memory that they're placing on there of him being a pedophile. And so that's a rationalization for their behavior. And so you start believing it. And so, and can you understand it? Sure, because they did something really abhorrent. And at the same time, he is feeling very insecure and defensive and unsafe. And so he's going to lie about where he got the knife. You know, so I think they're kind of canceling in that sense. Yeah. That's why the incumbency is really on that video. And it's too bad that there seems to be no credible eyewitnesses that are objective in this.
Yeah, because, thank God there's the video. I mean, at the end of the day, both sides are painting a picture. I was, I guess, a bit surprised by how, and maybe I'm not surprised, by just how downplayed some of the kids that were witnesses and victims were making it. One of them that really had serious, serious injuries was saying if he just used his words, maybe we could have figured it out. You couldn't hear him over the mob screaming. So this idea that he was not coming in light and in peace initially is just BS. But everybody's going to have their own narrative, especially if your friend's dead.
It's also very interesting too, if he was just speaking or just used his words. And you highlighted a really key thing there, is that when you see the totality of it, and it's all the screaming and loudness and chaos, but in the moment, those individuals are tunnel visioned on threat, on what they're looking at. And so they're not hearing the chaos around. They're looking right at him. So they think they can hear everything that's coming out of his mouth, or would be coming out of his mouth, because we get very, very myopic and like this on the potential threat, on what's going on. Mm-hmm. So we don't see, in other words, there's no one who's standing back being present,
yeah,
and rationally thinking, because everyone was just like this. I'm shocked by the charge as well, because premeditated on that. It's just, yeah.
And the thing, I mean, if you look at it, there was one person that looked to be threatened and in fear, and it was Nikolai. Those kids were laughing. They had drinks in their hand. We didn't even, like, that doesn't even get mentioned. Like, by the way, like, here's all these drunk teens, and the parents are there. Granted, if you've ever been to Wisconsin, you're not going to be surprised. I grew up there. That's how life is, right or wrong. It's like horrible judgment on everyone's part. But again, no adult figures, and they were there coming in to say, stop, kids. Like, you got to calm down. Leave this guy alone. I couldn't imagine being in that sort of a situation, being young and dumb, and no parent like flipping out and like, stop. But they just kind of like, you know, go do whatever you want to do. And then this seems to be what happens.
And therein lies the other part of this as to why you're having a hard time getting accuracy and falsehoods, is because alcohol.
Yeah.
Every time I've seen anything going sideways anywhere with what might otherwise be healthy people, mm-hmm. I guarantee you there's some sort of alcohol or drug involved. It just happens, because no one ever wakes up in the morning after an event like this and says, oh, I should have drank more. It would have gone much better.
That's 100% true. I think that is the statement of the day on this case.
And I think that's playing a large part of why we're seeing a lot of chaos here. I still think the injustice being done is the charges brought against him.
Without a doubt.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.